Good morning and welcome to the Wilf Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And I'm Tana Hartman, and our guest today is Lori Clark. She is the Blue Ribbon High School Specialist, the Mentoring Advocacy Program for the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you. Good morning.
Tell us a little bit. I know a little bit about volunteering in the schools. I used to have a kid who went through these schools. But tell us about the Blue Ribbon Program.
The Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program began in 1995 and was started or created because of the Blue Ribbon Task Force. And it was designed to help minority students close the achievement gap. That's the primary focus.
How old was it?
Yeah, it began in 1995. And so the task force believed that mentoring was a great way to be able to provide some support for children, and wanted it to be long-term, so we asked for volunteers from the community to commit to 2 years to working with a student. And we began working with students in the fourth grade and work with them through high school. Many of our mentors usually stay with their students or their mentee for 8 years, which is incredible.
8 years.
And the student becomes like a part of their family. So it's an incredible opportunity, not only for students, but the volunteers that commit to the students and being a part of their lives.
Wow. How do you identify the kids that are going to come into the program, and how big is the program? I mean, how many can you take?
We have about 100 students in the program right now, and we can only take as many students as volunteers as we have. That's why it's really crucial that people commit to volunteering. And the way that our program works is it's a strength-based program.
What does that mean?
That means that we don't look for the neediest children or children that are struggling academically. We look for students that have some untapped potential and haven't really reached their goals. Well, in the fourth grade, you don't really know what you want to do, but usually a teacher or the family specialist, which is a social worker, has had an opportunity to work with the students or be involved and get to know students, and can make recommendations that students be in the program. So you look for kids that seek out adult attention, mm-hmm. and that have untapped potential, and basically we encourage mentors to help them reach that potential.
Can parents apply?
We do have some parents that know about the program and think that their child would greatly benefit from having a mentor and the resources that we provide.
Okay. But most of your mentees come through your teachers who've identified the students?
It's teacher recommendation. We do have, again, parents that call and request that their child be considered for the program, but the family specialist usually identifies and works with our program to make recommendations.
Okay. How do you recruit volunteers? I mean, how do you...
That's probably one of the most difficult things for us, because if we had 50 volunteers, we could, recruit 50 kids easily. But we have training twice a year. We have training in the fall. We have a training coming up in October and a training in the spring. And we just, rely heavily on our current mentors to share with their friends. We require that our volunteers be at least 21 because of a lot of liability issues in terms of driving. And, if you're an undergrad student, you're only going to be here for a while. And, because of the longevity, we want people 21 and older to commit. We have a lot of people that are retired, empty nesters that want to do something, want to give back, and so they participate in the program.
What sort of roles? I mean, what is the job of mentoring? What do you take on when you commit to doing it?
It's not tutoring or anything like that. It's more enrichment. Basically, and advocacy. It's a mentor advocate. And so it's about providing students with opportunities. We take a lot of time in, you know, we're very careful when we match our volunteers to the student. And for example, if you were interested in gardening and our applications are pretty comprehensive and intense, we would identify a student that has the same interests that you have so that it would be a good match.
Okay.
And so we don't require that you do any tutoring. We provide those type of resources, but it's about you spending time with a child and getting to know that child and identifying their needs and their interests and helping that child reach their potential. So if you enjoy cooking, we would try and match you with a child that enjoys cooking, or if you enjoy traveling. There's no monetary requirement. You know, it's not the type of program where we expect you to go out every week and, you know, spend money.
Yeah,
it's not based on that, but it's more about the enrichment.
Okay. Well, what type? I mean, you ask for a 2-year commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When? How often is that? I mean,
we ask that you meet with the student at least a minimum of 2 hours a week. Of course, you know, many of our mentors spend much more than that, 2 to 4, 6. You know, engaged in activities, bike riding,
mm-hmm.
Or cooking, and then of course, Blue Ribbon offers group activities. So that the students can see other students that are in the program with their mentors. And then there may be kids that are friends that have mentors and they do things together.
Oh, good. You mentioned traveling. How would that work? I mean, how would you, if somebody's interested in traveling, you don't let them take the kid away?
We do. We have certain liability forms, okay. And we screen our mentors and do a background check. But of course, the mentor would have to get consent from the parent to be able to take, you know, the student on a trip. And this is certainly an exception, but we've had a mentor take her mentee to California, to Mexico.
Oh, wow.
And we have one mentor I know that takes her mentee on a trip every year, and just recently, since she's getting ready to go to college, has been taking her on college tours.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
But that is certainly an exception. We don't expect or require you to do that.
Okay. What are the current range? Like, I can imagine things like, I just went to the Nasher Museum, mm-hmm. and there were some fabulous exhibits, and there were some kids mm-hmm. coming through at the time. So things like going to museums and cooking, you mentioned, gardening.
Absolutely. We're looking at our events for this upcoming year, and we're looking at Memorial Hall. I think they're bringing Alvin Ailey. Carolina
Ooh,
Theaters has a
really?
A fabulous lineup, and so we're thinking about events like that. So we look for events that might be culturally stimulating for our students. It gives them a chance to kind of dress up and feel good and go to something, you know, a formal
uh-huh.
performance. And then, of course, we encourage them to do local events like Cinco de Mayo, participate in Kwanzaa at the Haiti Heritage Center. And just to get involved locally, like, hey, isn't it fabulous just to go to the farmer's market on a
yeah.
Saturday to really understand about local produce and
oh, no, that's good.
Things
yeah.
that are right here in your
yeah.
community.
What are the big challenges?
I would say volunteers. You know, we might have possibly 30 applications and we might only have 15 volunteers, so you know those students won't be able to get into the program.
Mm.
And we only admit students in the fourth grade, so a lot of times people have older siblings mm-hmm. that are in the program and want to get their younger siblings in, but if we don't have the mentors to do it,
okay.
You know, then we can't. And so that's our biggest challenge, of trying to find mentors, especially males, to volunteer.
Especially males,
mm-hmm.
okay. Yeah, that's actually quite a common program, I think, in volunteering. I have a common problem with volunteering is that women typically do more volunteering. I may be wrong, but So you take them in the fourth grade. Do they have to be in the fourth? I mean, will you take kids who are in the sixth grade?
No, we only take kids in the fourth grade because if you have a mentor that's with them for 2 years, then they help them transition into high school, and that's a gateway year because you begin to have some end of grade testing in the fifth grade, and it's so important that you help them transition and to middle school. So, you know, you get to know the student in the fourth grade, and then you have EOGs, which are end-of-grade tests, standardized tests. So the mentor has the opportunity to really get to know the student and learn what their strengths are and look at some issues they might be having academically to be able to help them to transition. And an example of that would be our own superintendent, Dr. Peterson. Participated in the program, and his mentee graduated, I want to say 2003, and we always joke that he's still mentoring because they have a fantastic relationship. As a matter of fact, I think his mentee still goes over on a regular basis. Every Sunday he would come over to his house, and I think he still continues to do that. But, you know, it's so important that the longevity, that the stability is there, that the child knows I have someone in my life that I can count on outside of my family who's going to be there for me and who's going to advocate for me.
Okay. And these kids, I mean, can you tell us a little bit about the background? Is there a wide range of backgrounds?
Our program has grown tremendously. Initially, of course, it was designed for African-American students to help close the achievement gap. And again, the task force believed that mentoring was a great way to do that. But of course, we're inclusive of Latinos now and have quite a few Latinos that are in our program. I'm sorry. Did I answer your question?
Yes. Well, I was wondering, you know, sort of what the range.
So again, when we identify students, you know, it's not based on economics.
Okay.
It's just totally based on a kid that has untapped potential, you know, with some additional adult support to serve as an advocate, to serve as a role model, that kid can reach their true potential. So that's what we look for. It's a strength-based program.
Okay. All right. Clearly your volunteers return over and over again. So you retain volunteers?
Our retention rate is very high. You know, I work primarily with high school students, and my role is to serve as an advocate for them, to make sure they're in the right course of study, to make sure that they are exposed to college and careers. We still have a lot of students that are first generation. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's about the opportunities that we give them. And I'm getting off track again. What was your question? I'm getting ahead of myself.
I'm not even sure what I... Now, I've forgotten. It's too early in the morning, I have to say, guys, and I've been up too late too many nights. All right, this is a strength-based, an opportunity to mentor kids and build on their potential and strength. But where does your funding come from?
It comes from the school district. And basically our goal, again, is to help kids reach their full potential. In my role, as I mentioned earlier, I serve as an advocate to make sure our students are in the right course of study. Usually that's college, university track. And provide resources for them in terms of tutoring. We have a tutoring program for...
It's separate.
That supports our students in the program, yes. Okay. But it's for the elementary and middle school kids. And so, you know, the role of the mentor is not to tutor the child, because we have resources for that. So we have an evening tutorial. It hasn't started yet this year, But, you know, that's in place so that students can receive the additional support, academic support that they need. Again, so my role serving the high school students is to help them academically to be successful in high school. If they're interested in college, to take them on college tours, or if they're interested in pursuing a career, to help them find out what that is and provide opportunities for internships or exposure to those careers. And then the thing that I love the best about my job is the Youth Leadership Institute, which is a service component sponsored by Blue Ribbon that's open to all students within the school district. And I'd love to talk to you more about that.
And I would like to hear more about that in just a minute. We're going to take a break here and like to make an announcement. Tomorrow, September 13th, there will be a program on water resources, on North Carolina water resources, which is currently a very hot topic. It will be 2 to 4 p.m. at the Church of the Reconciliation, which is the education building at the back of the sanctuary. Hope Taylor, who is director of Clean Water North Carolina, will be speaking, and we hope everyone will turn out to learn more about water resources in North Carolina. And now we're back with Lori Clark from the Blue Ribbon Mentoring Program in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. And tell us about the Youth Leadership Institute.
The Youth Leadership Institute was originally created for Blue Ribbon students to teach them leadership skills and to help them with the opportunities to be able to serve within their school and in their community. So the way the program, and then it was extended to all students. Okay. So it's not exclusively for Blue Ribbon students in the mentoring program. I want to make that very clear.
Okay.
And I've been with the program since 2002, and I believe it's an awesome program. I love the work that we do. And basically, we run a summer camp, a leadership camp, where we teach students four principles. And this is all based around service. And the principles are vision, communication, empowerment, and action or implementation. So what we teach students is the way you have how to create a vision, you know, around service or around issues in your life. Then how do you communicate that effectively? Then how do you empower yourself and others? And then how do you put those into action? So it's a lot of team building over the course of 2 weekends at Camp New Hope. In addition to that, we focus on integrity, compassion, accountability, and responsibility. Students come up with local monthly service projects. They find ways that they can become engaged with nonprofit organizations. This year, for example, we're working with the Arc of Orange County. We go to teen court. We work at the animal shelter. We're looking at doing something with the Ronald McDonald House and the State Employee Credit Union Family House. And we go to Chapel Hill Rehab. So it's a variety of things that students want to engage in to make a difference.
That's really important, and I think that's really exciting because it's beyond just attracting adult volunteers, you know, to provide a service to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It is teaching kids to carry that on and to bring it into their life, to bring it into the lives of others. And there's some evidence, I think, that really strengthens everybody's experience.
Well, we believe that the program builds character. It certainly is about integrity. And it's about teaching kids the resources and the opportunities and the things that are here where we can make a difference. You know, charity begins at home. And for our students, again, which are mostly minority students, Latino and African Americans, it's about teaching them how to serve others. Every spring break, we do an alternative spring break. We go outside of North Carolina so that students have an opportunity to serve. We've been to West Virginia. We've been to D.C. twice. We went to Gulfport, Mississippi to do Hurricane Katrina relief in 2006. We've been to St. Helena Island in South Carolina. You know, and so kids learn a lot of things in South Carolina. They had an opportunity to learn about the Gullah Geechee culture, you know, about the transatlantic slave ships that came from Sierra Leone to learn the connection. We had a chance to go to Charleston. We toured the Citadel. We toured Savannah State. When we were in D.C. this past spring break, we had a chance to stay at a church, which was a temporary soup kitchen. And it was really incredible because students had an opportunity to see firsthand what homelessness was like. I mean, you know, we have issues with homelessness here, but when you're in a metropolitan city like D.C. and you see people coming in and you see what they're preparing and that the breakfast meal is not anything comparable to what you consider a breakfast meal, it has an impact on you. And so, you know,
it does.
We toured the Smithsonian, the Holocaust, Johns Hopkins University, Howard. It's incredible. So, again, our trips are always focused around service, but we add the educational component, which is the college tour, and the enrichment, which is the museum tours, so that kids have a really comprehensive spring break. You know, and there are a lot of kids in Chapel Hill that have opportunities that some kids don't have.
Right.
So, you know, maybe I didn't go to France or Europe for spring break, but I had a chance to go to Opportunity and serve.
Absolutely.
I mean, go to Washington, D.C. We have about 75 kids in that program. We had our first meetings this week at each. We have a club at each high school, and we meet twice a month. And I have just been in awe at the attendance this week at our club meetings at Chapel Hill High. It was standing room only at Carrboro, which, of course, you know, just started. We had about 23 kids. So, you know, our students are committed. They want to come out. They want to participate. And it's an awesome thing.
It's, well, it sounds like it. But I want to ask one question. I know that the schools cut like $1.5 million from their budget,
mm-hmm.
and on programs that they were considered non-essential,
mm-hmm.
have the funding cuts or the budget cuts impacted these programs, or are they secure?
No, our program hasn't directly been impacted by that, and when we go on our spring break trips, we rely on outside funding.
Outside funding.
You know, we solicit the community, we write letters. And we do some outside grant writing to seek funding for our programs.
Okay, grants. All right.
I would be remiss if I didn't add that last year, 2007, we went to Ghana. We took an international
trip.
Yes,
ooh.
To Ghana. And, of course, did service, worked in an HIV clinic, built desk in a rural part of
Ghana's been
Ghana.
A model.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
This
spring break, we're planning to go to New Orleans to do some work there. You know, they've been hit again.
Yes.
So we're going to New Orleans. We'll stay in a makeshift volunteer facility and do some work, hopefully in the Ninth Ward. And in the summer, we're planning to go to Mexico.
Wow. Where in Mexico?
We're not sure. Initially, we were looking at a town called Puebla, which I believe is southeast of Mexico City. So we're in the process of doing some research now. But, you know, the Youth Leadership Institute is about developing leaders and about developing leaders that have compassion and that care about their communities and their world, you know, that are willing to have courageous conversations and that are willing to advocate for change. So I'm really proud and grateful for the opportunities that I have to work with these kids and some of the awesome things that they're doing.
Yeah. Taking them abroad, especially, for instance, to Mexico, they are bound to have some... There's bound to be a question that comes up about why
mm-hmm.
the poverty
mm-hmm.
levels are so great. And so that gives them a chance to learn about our international trade agreements, international relations, and
And one reason we're interested in Mexico is because we have such a high concentration of Mexicans here, and I believe that a way to bridge the gap between black and brown people is through service. So what better way for us to take a group of students over to see, you know, what poverty and what some of the issues are, so we have a greater understanding and ways that we can possibly connect with them.
That's really great. That's very impressive. The youth. Lori Hoyt has just handed me a couple of questions. What about kids who are not recommended from the Blue Mentor Program who need help and support? Now, are there kids who fall between the cracks?
Oh, certainly there are kids that, you know, fall between the cracks, and we certainly hope that there are people, administrators and people in their schools that can identify them and can provide them with the resources that they need. We wish we could almost serve all kids.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about the Youth Leadership Program is, you know, if students join, then I can not necessarily provide them with the same resources as the mentoring because they don't have a mentor, but in terms of college exposure, in terms of scholarships, the tutoring, I can give kids, greater benefits in that program. But, you know, we have to rely on our administrators and our teachers to be able to help the students that we that are not in our program.
Yeah, and I know there are a whole lot of volunteer opportunities at the schools. Tell folks before we have to quit. Tell us how people can get involved, what you really need, and how they can contact you.
Sure. The way you can get involved with Blue Ribbon, our coordinator is Greg Meyer. He's the Blue Ribbon coordinator. Again, we're having training, and I believe that training is October 16th. And so if you're interested, you can give him a call at 919-918-2170, extension 1.
919-918-2170. 2170. Okay, I'm going to repeat it a third time. 919-918-2170.
Or you can call the volunteer office. The Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate Program is under the volunteer office, and the volunteer office does some incredible things. They have just completed recruiting on UNC's campus. They recruit for classroom volunteers. You can be a UNC student, you can be retired, or someone who has a love and has lots of time and wants to help students and volunteer in the classroom. We have a Coach Write program that helps kids prepare for the writing test and does some awesome things with writing with students and encouraging them to write, and just recently doing some creative writing. Some kids don't like to read and some kids don't like to write, so if you make it fun, you know, and engaging, then students can, you know, go beyond things that they ever imagined. We have school reading partners. We have an ESL program. So, yeah, call the volunteer office. The coordinator of the volunteer office is Mary Bushnell. George Ann McKay is in charge of general volunteers. Just give them a call, and they'll be happy to direct you to the appropriate person if you're interested in volunteering.
And I think that number is 967-8211.
Exactly. Yeah. Extension 281 will get you into the volunteer office, and they can direct you to the proper person.
Well, Lori, thank you. What you're doing is wonderful work. It sounds like a great program. I hope people will turn out, will volunteer, mm-hmm. contact you all, and you'll get more volunteers, can bring even more kids into both the mentoring and the Youth Leadership Institute. That is especially exciting, I think.
I think so.
And thank you very much, and I hope you'll come back again.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening, and join us again next week, Friday morning at 7:30. And who's going to be our guest then?
To be announced.
To be announced, okay. All right. Well, thanks. You have been listening to your wake-up call, brought to you by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and you are listening to WCOM-LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your all-volunteer radio station. Get out and volunteer.